1 Corinthians 12. We've been away from Corinthians for a little while. So we are into the section on spiritual gifts. So 1 Corinthians 12. So, I couldn't find anything in the Bible on country and western. But I did look up, these are actual titles of country western songs. So for you country western fans here, these are actual songs, okay? Her teeth were stained, but her heart was pure. Here is a quarter, call someone who cares. Someone obviously with the gift of mercy. How can I miss you if you won't go away? And this is for all you hunters out there. Well, I still miss you, baby, but my aim's getting better. I would have wrote you a letter, but I couldn't spell yuck. I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Little does this person know they've already had a lobotomy. Get the hammer. There's a fly on Papa's head. I get that. Sounds like that reindeer song. Here's Bill Duncan, I thought of you here. My John Deere was breaking your field while your dear John was breaking my heart. She is looking better after every beer, and that's why you shouldn't go to bars to drink. It's the wrong place to pick up women. When you leave, walk out backwards, so I think you're walking in. I like this one. You can't have your Kate and Edith too. You're the reason our kids are so ugly. All right. What happens when you play country and western music backwards? You sober up, your wife comes home, and your dog comes back to life. All right. Spiritual gifts. We're going to look at chapter 12, and I know Christians have different thoughts on spiritual gifts, and we argue over spiritual gifts, and denominations have different beliefs about spiritual gifts. And so that's why I'm going to kind of stick really close to exactly what the scripture says so I don't get myself into trouble. So let's look at 10 foundational truths about spiritual gifts. And the first one is, first fundamental truth is you should be informed about spiritual gifts. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, sisters, I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. So God wants us to know about spiritual gifts. Sometimes because Christians fight over it so much, it's like, oh, I don't want to know about it. I don't want to deal with it. But God says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know about the spiritual gifts. Because the fact is, when we're all using our spiritual gifts, that's when the church will move forward. That's when God really moves. So God's like, we need to know about spiritual gifts. Second fundamental truth. What you say gives away what you believe in your heart. So verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is what? Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, there were some people coming into the Corinthian church that were saying they had either the spiritual gift of wisdom or knowledge or speaking in tongues or prophesying or whatever, and they were going, Jesus be cursed. And Paul's like, no way. I don't care what gift you say you have. If you're saying Jesus be cursed by the Spirit of God, that is not from the Holy Spirit. And in fact, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, and it is only when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, that you will be able to say Jesus is what? Is Lord. So what you really believe in, here's what it says in Romans. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord of the universe. He is Lord of our life. When you know Jesus, when you're born again, you are able to say, Jesus is my Lord. If you can't say that, if you can't believe that, then I would question whether you actually know the Lord. And I make a big deal about this because of the cults. You realize the cults cannot say this. So I know people say, oh, you're picking on the Mormons. Yeah, because they believe Jesus is an angel. He's not the Lord. And I know you're picking on the Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, because they don't believe Jesus is the Lord. And all the cults, they don't believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Son of God. And my Bible tells me that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit if they know the Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When that blind man was healed, he worshiped Jesus and he said, you are the Lord. In John, well, back in when Moses saw the burning bush, the Lord appeared to Moses and Moses says, what is your name? What did God say his name was? I am. Okay, I am. In John chapter 8, verse 58, the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, who are you? And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. So he was actually declaring, I am the same God of the Old Testament that appeared to Moses. And boy, those Jews understood it because they picked up stones to stone him because he was saying he is God. John, Gospel of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. When Doubting Thomas saw Jesus after the resurrection, Doubting Thomas fell on his knees to worship Jesus, and he said, my Lord and my God. So if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're using the spiritual gifts. Jesus is Lord. What you believe in your heart will come out of your mouth. It's not very hard for us to figure out who's a Christian. You only have to talk to a person a little while to find out that, you know, Jesus is Lord of their life. They know him. Third fundamental truth. What is a spiritual gift? How do they differ from spiritual fruit and from talents? So a spiritual gift is a gift that after you're saved, it's a gift that God gives you. Okay, it's you didn't have it before, but after coming to Jesus, you're given a gift, at least one spiritual gift. Everyone has at least one spiritual gift, but you may have multiple spiritual gifts from the Lord. How do they differ from talents? Talents are the abilities you're born with or you develop through education or being mentored or whatever. So you may have a talent for basketball. As far as I know, there's no spiritual gift of playing basketball, okay? But you can have a talent for basketball. You can have a talent for, Scott has a talent for playing guitar. You can have a talent for mathematics. You can have, okay, these are things you're born with or you learn. A spiritual gift is not something that you were born with or you grew up with, or it's a gift that's given you from the Lord. Spiritual fruit, you understand, as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and as you walk in holiness, you will manifest nine fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And fruit grow in your life. The longer you walk with the Lord, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you die to self, the more the fruit is manifest. Technically, we believe, theologians, that you could be actually away from the Lord. You could be backslidden, and you're not manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, but you still have your spiritual gift from the Lord. What's a basic description of the various spiritual gifts? So let's pick up in verse 7. Oh, by the way, the whole Trinity is involved in the spiritual gifts. Look at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same, what? Same Holy Spirit. Verse 5. There are different kinds of service as you're using the spiritual gifts to serve, but the same Lord, okay? And who is Lord? Jesus is Lord, okay? Verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but the same God, and this is not talking about God the Father, works all of them in all men. So we have actually the Spirit and the Son and the Father, and the three are one, and they are God. Verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, and here's a list of some of the spiritual gifts. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. So there's one spiritual gift, the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Come over to verse 28. Here's kind of the list again, with a couple extras added in. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. So let's go over, these are the basic spiritual gifts. I've got them listed out here for you. Apostleship, the spiritual gift of apostleship is a person who is sent by God on a mission. We usually call them missionaries or church planters. This is kind of the entrepreneurial gift. You can have apostles in a church who start new ministries, start new small groups, some new outreach ministry. You have, if God sends you to start a ministry, you may have the gift of apostleship. Prophesying, receiving a message from the Lord, like kind of preaching, would kind of fall under this. It says in, and we'll get when we get into chapter 14, but 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, it says two or three prophets should speak, and the other should weigh carefully what is said. Anytime someone says, I have a message from the Lord, people should be checking their Bibles to make sure that what they say lines up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, like I've met a person that said, They were prophesying and were like, well, it's okay for me to, God has revealed to me a message, a prophecy that I can divorce my husband. And I said, well, do you have biblical grounds? No, but God spoke to me that I am able to. And I'm like, that is not from the Lord. That doesn't line up with the scripture. Prophecy needs to line up with the Bible, okay? Wisdom, at least not contradicted. Wisdom is you get insight from the Lord in some situation or something the church is going through. Knowledge, you get a word, a piece of information from the Lord for what the church needs to know or what you need to know to move forward the kingdom of God. Teaching is the ability to teach God's truth so that people can understand it and their lives are changed. They're not just learning information, but it transforms them. Serving or helps is when you're able to see unmet needs, and you serve the body of Christ, you meet needs of people and individuals. Encouraging or exhortation is to come alongside and to give comfort, encouragement. Giving, some people have the spiritual gift of giving. They just sacrificially give. They do it with joy. They give 20%, 30%. They're just amazing what they're able to give to the Lord. And most people have a spiritual gift of giving. Not only can they give of their finances, but they also give of their time and of their heart. Leadership, administration, to set and accomplish goals. Mercy is the ability to grieve with those who are suffering, to feel and connect with them. Faith, some people have the spiritual gift of faith. These, you know, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Usually, the people with the gift of faith are your prayer warriors. They're the ones who come out to prayer meeting because they've got the faith that God's going to move. God's going to move mountains. And that's why a lot of people that don't have that gift, prayer meeting's not that important to them. Anything will keep them from prayer meeting. But the people that really tap into this gift, they're at prayer meeting because they've seen God move. They know God moves. And so they don't view it as wasting an hour on Wednesday night. They view it as like, wow, we get to, practice our gift of faith. Healings. You'll note in the Bible there, in verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts. You'll notice gifts is plural. Gifts of healing. Most of the spiritual gifts are singular. This is plural, meaning there are different gifts of healing. There are some people who can pray for mental healing. There are some Christians who can pray for emotional healing. There are some Christians who can pray for physical healing, for broken bones. There are some people who can pray for cancer. So there's different gifts of healing. In the last church I was at, my last church before I came here, before the district, 16 years. And we open up the altars every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. And Wednesday we have prayer meeting. And I learned over those 16 years that there were people in the church that had gifts of healing, different gifts of healing. Okay. Miraculous powers. The ability to pray and to see the change course of nature. Discernment is being able to tell between what is of God and what is not from God, from if this is from Satan or from the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is getting the ability to speak in a language that you have never learned. Interpretation of tongues is the ability to translate a language that you've never learned. And pastor is to care for the spiritual welfare of being. There isn't just three pastors in this church. If you oversee a small group, you may have the spiritual gift of being a pastor. Fifth fundamental truth. It is important to keep in mind that many of the spiritual gifts are qualities that we should be practicing anyway to some extent. So for instance, I'll pick on the spiritual gift of giving. If you don't have the spiritual gift of giving, does that mean you don't have to give? No. We all, if Jesus is Lord, if you're able to say, Jesus is Lord of my life, Jesus is Lord of my finances, then all Christians should give a tithe of their income to the Lord. You pay your taxes to the government, and the government takes between Social Security and state tax and local and federal and all the unemployment, all that stuff. I know you pay more than 10% to the government, but all through the scripture, all godly people have always honored the Lord with the tithe. But then there are some people in our church who have the gift of giving. They give 20%. They give 30%. They give 60%. They rejoice. They're gifted in that. So all of us give, but some are gifted in giving. The gift of mercy. Should we all show mercy towards one another? Yes. But some have the gift of mercy. Serving, help. Should all of us serve one another? Yes. But some have the gift of serving, okay? So let me, and I'm going to get in trouble here with Cecilia. Cecilia, in the scriptures, it looks like there is no gift of music. Okay? Now, why is that? Why do you think there's no spiritual gift of music? Of singing. No spiritual gift of singing. We have very talented people who sing. I enjoyed the music. It was fun. To me, singing is a spiritual thing that all of us should have. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Then you'll be able to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Singing is when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will sing. All of you will sing. All of us will sing. And it doesn't matter what your voice is. You don't care if you don't have a great voice. Okay, that's a gift of singing that all of us get when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Another gift that we actually don't believe is a spiritual gift is evangelism. Now, it is true in Ephesians chapter 4, there are five offices that we believe. It says in the church, God has appointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, preachers. But we believe those are offices and not spiritual gifts. There is no spiritual gift of evangelism. I can't tell you how many people that I meet that I say, hey, do you share your faith? And they go, well, I don't share my faith because I don't have the gift of evangelism. Someone else has to share the gospel because they have the gift of evangelism. But I think the reason why there's no gift of evangelism is because Jesus wants everyone to understand all of us are to share our faith. All of us should be using those spiritual gifts to share Jesus. And in fact, I'll claim to you, do you remember that Jesus says to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive, all of you will receive power to be my, what? To be my witnesses. So, if you actually tell me I have no ability to share my faith, it's not that you don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism, it's that you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit comes on a person, all of us have the boldness to share our faith. All of us are to obey the commandment to go and make disciples and share. So that's why there's not a separate spiritual gift of evangelism. All right. Six fundamental truths. Gifts are given for the common good. Look at verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. Okay, it's given for the benefit of the church. You can use spiritual gifts selfishly for yourself. I happen to believe that God gives the gifts to benefit the church as a whole, and that the gifts are not meant for yourself. But you can use spiritual gifts selfishly to become very successful in life. If you have the spiritual gift of leadership, yes, you can use it to become a CEO of a large corporation in the United States and make millions of dollars for yourself. But I don't think that's the reason God gave you the spiritual gift of leadership. But you can use it selfishly for yourself. If God gave you the spiritual gift of teaching, yes, you could use it in the public schools to be an amazing teacher that kids love. But that's not the main purpose why God gave you the spiritual gift of teaching, is so that you'd be a great high school teacher or college teacher with all kinds of awards. He gives you the gift to serve the body of Christ and to advance the kingdom of God. All right. So Tom, can I pick on you? Let's say it's next week, and we're going to have the meal. It depends. If you vote yes, you get the meal. If you vote no, then no, I'm kidding. We want to see what the Lord's will is. So Tom's got a tray, and he's got his food on the tray, and he's walking back to his table. He's pretty hungry. When all of a sudden he trips, and the food falls on the ground there in the family center, okay? And there's a whole bunch of Christians around him. Now, picture with me. I want you to play with me here. There is a Christian there who has the spiritual gift of serving, of helps. Serving and helps is one and the same gift. What is that person doing that has the spiritual gift of serving and helps? They're getting up to help pick up the food that Tom dropped on the food, right? Okay, to help out. There's a Christian there that has the spiritual gift of teaching. What is that Christian doing? Tom, I have to teach you how to walk. You need to walk kind of in the straight and narrow between the tables. And by the way, Tom, thinking about the straight and narrow, do you know that you want to walk with Jesus on the straight and narrow path, and small is the gate that leads to life, and only a few go that way, and broad is, you know, teachers use everything for an excuse to teach the word of God. You with me? Okay, exhortation, the encouragement. What's that Christian doing? Tom, they're putting their arm around Tom. Tom, it's all right. We all stumble. We can all... by the way, after you spilled it, you know what everyone does? They're cheering to embarrass you. Okay. We all get embarrassed. We've all been there. Don't worry. You'll make it through. There'll be another day for you. Okay. How about the person with the gift of giving? Here is my food. I haven't even touched it, Tom. You got it all. I'm just rejoicing I get to fast in order for you to have a full meal. So here, you know, take my meal. Okay? In the first service, Ruth Ann said I would give my dessert to Tom. Okay. So I said, Ruth Ann obviously is a Christian. She knows how to give, but she doesn't have the spiritual gift of giving. If she had the spiritual gift of giving, she would give the whole tray. Okay. So you got the spiritual gift of giving. Okay. So mercy, the person who has the gift of mercy. Tom, I was crying for you when it fell and you made a fool out of yourself. I was crying and connecting with you. Okay. Administration, leadership. What's that person doing? Jerry, get them up. Mary, get the sponges. Move aside the tables. They're taking charge and leading and all this stuff. Okay, miracle. The person has a gift of miracle. Miraculous signs, powers, whatever. His food would reappear. Yeah, that would be a miracle. Huh? The 5-second rule. It's a miracle. You can eat the food, and it's clean. I thought of, this is kind of, because it's always kind of to advance the kingdom. I thought, here's someone with a gift of miracle. You know, Tom, I was praying. I have a friend here who's really into, you know, the country founding fathers. And I told him about you and that I didn't think we'd get an opportunity to talk to you. But God did a miracle and had you stumble right there with your food so that I could introduce you to my friend to share about the founding fathers. You would have to, or on creationism or something. Okay. All right. Seventh fundamental truth. God decides what gifts he is going to give us. So look at verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them, the Holy Spirit gives them to each one just as, who's the he determines? Who's the he? Is it us or is it God? It's the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives the gifts as he determines. I say that because there are many churches, and in fact, even I've been involved in churches and stuff where we actually decided what gifts you would get. And in fact, I've been in churches where the leadership said, yeah, we've decided everyone's going to get, and I'll just be upfront here, everyone is going to get the gift of speaking in tongues. We've decided that's the spiritual gift everyone's going to get. But I don't see that in Scripture. In fact, okay, so I see the Holy Spirit decides, not a church or leaders. I see the Holy Spirit decides which gift each person gets. Verse 18. But in fact, God has arranged all the parts, has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Verse 28. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, verse 29 there, are all apostles, yes or no? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. So I'm just amazed when churches decide, we've decided everyone gets the same gift. I just don't see it in Scripture, okay? I see it is not man who decides. I've been in groups where we've decided we're going to pray for you to get this. We're going to give you the gift of wisdom. We're all going to pray that you get the gift of wisdom. And I'm like, I just don't see that. It's like God who decides. God's like, I don't need your help. I don't need you to tell me what gift I'm going to give. I know the whole picture. I understand the whole body of Christ. And I decide, I determine what gift this person gets and that person gets and that person. And it is not all the same. And I'm just having fun with you. If I were a pastor, that I could decide that every one of us should get the same gift, what gift should I pick that all of us should get? The gift of giving. I'm like, yes! You know, you guys would be, I'm giving 30%, I'm giving 50%, I'm getting, like, wow, what a church. Everyone has a gift of giving. There was one other gift that I thought would be like, yes, let's start a church. Everyone has to get this gift. What's another gift that would be really good that everyone would get? The gift of miracles. Can you imagine we all get together and, hey, I just duplicated the food. Hey, I just multiplied all the offerings. Hey, people just got saved. I mean, like, if everyone's like, miracles left. But the bottom line is, God determines and he decides which gifts we get. And we don't all get the same gift. Eighth fundamental truth. Every Christian's gift is important for the body of believers. So, verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. In other words, we don't all have the same spiritual gift. There's many spiritual gifts. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So again, we don't all have the same spiritual gift. We all have different gifts. We together form one body. Some of us are kidneys. Some of us are brains. Some of us are eyes. Some of us are ears. All right. All of us are important. All of us should be using our spiritual gifts to serve the Lord. You're like a, let's say your spiritual gift is like the kidney. When one Christian says, I'm not going to use my spiritual gift for the Lord, it's like one kidney shutting down. Or if you're a liver, you know, the liver does hundreds of functions. You cannot live without your liver. It seems so insignificant. But the body can't live without the liver. We all are important. And when you decide, I'm not going to attend church, or I'm not going to use my spiritual gift, that's like a part of the body, the heart going, well, I'm not going to beat blood. Or I'm not going to be a kidney. All of us are important. We all have a role to move the church forward. Now, ninth, no one in the church should feel that their gift makes them superior to others. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You might think, who needs that gift of serving? Obviously, the pastor is the most significant person in the world, and we cannot live without him. But if I were to go to heaven, don't worry, the church would move forward. You could replace me easily, okay? And everyone, it's just amazing how everyone is significant. Everyone is needed, including those that have spiritual gifts that aren't up front in a church. Verse 23, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no, what? No division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. It doesn't matter if I'm cleaning the bathroom. It doesn't matter if I'm teaching the children. It doesn't matter if I'm working in the nursery, singing up front, or preaching. God's the one that gave us these callings and these gifts, and we should have equal concern for one another. It works like your body works. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So if one person hurts in our church, I just think of the people fighting cancer in our church. I think of Slick. And I think like, wow, if you know Slick, we all hurt with him. Part of our body, is hurting. And Slick has done so much on this church and has used his gifts and his talents for this building and serving the Lord. But it's like right now, Slick hurts. But when one part is honored, then we all rejoice. When someone comes to the Lord in one of the small groups, we all rejoice. We are a body together. So last one. Are you fulfilling your purpose for which God brought you to Mars Alliance? So I'm going to open up the altar. And here's two questions that I have for you, whether you need to come to the altar. Question number one is, do you know what your spiritual gift is? There are many Christians who aren't sure what their spiritual gift is. And I know you might be tempted to come to me and say, Pastor, can you tell me what my spiritual gift is? I mean, maybe the Lord will give me discernment. But who knows who your spiritual gift is? God. So If you don't know, if you're a believer and you don't know what your spiritual gift is, I'm asking you to come and to kneel and to, it's just going to be between you and the Lord, and say, Lord, I'm not sure what my spiritual gift is. Over the next days, weeks, would you please reveal to me by your Holy Spirit what my spiritual gift is? Is everyone with me? A lot of you probably know what your spiritual gift is. But if you do not, I want you to come to the altar. It's just going to be, and you talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to know what it is. What is that special gift you gave me that I can use to further the kingdom of God? The second group of people that I want to challenge is, you do know what your spiritual gift is, but you're not using it for the Lord. You're not using it. And so I want to challenge you to come up and to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I know what my spiritual gift is. How I want to be used at Mars Alliance. Because unless we're functioning, unless we're using our gifts, we're never going to be the church, the potential that our church has. If kidneys are shut down and livers aren't operating and hearts aren't pumping, if we're not using our spiritual gifts, we're not going to advance the way we could and should. So if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, I want you to come pray to the Lord. And if you do know, but you're not using it, Lord, how can I get plugged in? So let's stand.